What's up, boys? I hope you are having an incredible day. Just a reminder that we drop every Tuesday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and if you're an Amazon Prime member, you can listen to our podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. The boy is going to give you a tremendous ad read on the greatest truck of all time.
That truck happens to be the one and only Chevy Silverado. Chevy Silverado is reliable, it's durable, it's beautiful, and it's got something that nobody else has. I'm going to have to find my little area here, but it is with Silverado, you get the most functional bed of any competitor. It's best-in-class standard cargo volume. The inner gate folds to a large step for easily getting in and out of the bed, right? Maybe you're working real hard, you're working that construction piece, or you're just lifting some heavy weights one day, got a little tweak in that little back, and you think, I got to get this out of my bed, but I don't really want to be a tough guy right now. So you rip that thing down, bing, bang, boom. That thing's like little steps. Now you're just walking up like it's an easy day, right? You're taking your four-year-old out. You got the multi-flex tailgate that we've been telling you about with six configurations. That's six. All right. I don't think anybody else has six. And there's also the thing, Will, you know, the fob. If you do the fob, that thing comes down, right? And you're staring, and you're saying, hey, everybody does that. Now with the fob, you can also brings it back up. It's a 2-for-1 special. This thing is so damn beautiful. It puts everything out the window, dude. You really look at this thing and you know to yourself, this person wakes up, gets to work, gets there on time, works their ass off, comes home, probably a hell of a dad or mom.
First in, last out kind of guy.
First in, last out kind of guy. The Chevy Silverado. Silverado strong, advanced, dependable, and hardworking. We love you.
As a thicker boy.
You put the mic up to your thing. The thing's already running. So tell me why you'd rather have the Nebraska jersey. And just so, like, this is a thing, this has nothing to do with Nebraska or Michigan. Nothing. We're talking about Adidas and Jordan right now.
Yeah, Adidas and Jordan. I would rather have, hang on. I don't want it to sound like I'm picking Adidas over Jordan. I would love to have Jordan over Adidas. But as far as
feeling,
feeling both of these jerseys, I'd rather have that cloth sitting on my body.
Because it stretches a little bit better?
It stretches a little bit better. It's thicker because I'm a thicker boy. You know when you got,
really not a thicker boy, dude. You look great. They're not scrawny. Nice.
I know I look great, but I'm just saying, like, I'm a thicker boy. So when you have a little bit of like a slight little muffin top on the bottom, when that bottom row isn't, you know, tight.
Yeah.
I feel like you make wrinkles in your jersey, right? Like you make wrinkles. So it kind of all goes together. And I can do that better with that one.
Listen,
that one that I feel like holds it a little safer.
No one plays that game more than me. I know it. With the long, you do the long shirt and you kind of bring it up.
You got to go long shirt.
The belly button.
Yes.
So
yes.
That for that like little, like when it starts to descend from the mountaintop, it doesn't look as much of a decline.
Right. Because you got to cut the bottom a little bit. You got to cut the side of the bottom so the elasticity doesn't like grab your stomach.
Right. But this has the elasticity. This literally has a rippled like sweatpants vibe.
Right. But I like the thicker look because I can, it would just make my body look better.
Okay. I love everything you just said right there. And honestly, I'd give that whole description a 4.5. I thought it was outstanding, but I will say I'm going to go with this one, not because it's Michigan, because it's Jordan. I just think that it's a better quality jersey. And as a bigger dude, I know we're both playing I'm the big boy game right now, but for me, I'm thinking first couple games in September, I like something a little lighter on me. And then you cut it and you get it custom fitted to you. You get the jersey cut out right here. You get the V on the back a little bit.
They're both getting customized.
I'm saying like that thing after a couple quarters is going to start weighing you down a little bit over Jordan jersey, which is, it might not feel as good to touch.
Yeah.
But I'm also not trying to wear a wolf sweater
while
I'm playing.
Weigh me down a little bit. I'm trying to look good in the mirror at the end.
You're trying to take on them shots from them big boys, huh?
Exactly, yeah.
Well, listen, that was a nice little bit of small talk.
It's good to be back.
Let's give Will a round of applause for just being back on the bus. It's been a long week for our special stallion, and I know we're not doing ad reads today.
It's been a year.
It really has. It does feel like that.
It's been a minute, boys. It's good to see you all.
If you want to say anything, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I complimented Garrett. I think he has a phenomenal haircut. I love the beard. He has the best beard in Nashville.
No question about it.
Jack, he's got his little, what is that? What is that cut called?
Jack's got the perm with the dirty
like a Mike Studd look.
Yeah, I'm going for that Mike look.
Yeah,
a little high looking cat. So
Jack, he always looks
good. Jack's a handsome boy. He is.
Yeah. The shout outs of the week. I'm excited to do it. I know I missed the first annual shout out. No free shout out of the week. Mm-hmm. That was last week when you did the.
So you missed the first and the second, but for good reason.
Two intros, one pod. I've missed two intros.
Yes, exactly. No, because you were on Fred Taylor.
Yeah, you're right.
The mind. Sometimes it melts away a little bit. You got to play Tetris, get those blocks, clear out the mind a little bit.
But the shout out, no free shout outs. They've been killer, dude. I've listened to both of them. When I've not been here, I've been a tier one. Like, I'm not fucking around. When I wake up, it's not right at 6 a.m.
Of course.
But when I'm waking up, I'm going, I'm downloading, I'm subscribing, which everybody should be doing now.
Yes, absolutely.
And when I'm listening, whether I'm driving to the hospital, driving here from the hospital, I'm listening to Bustin' with the Boys, dude. Because like, I got to catch up with the boys, and I love the shout out, no free shout out. So I can't wait to get into it.
And I actually want you to do your first free shout out. But before that, I'd like to tell a little bit of news. We had a meeting with Barstool the other week, and they showed us who our unique audience is. And I'm not going to say specific numbers, but I will say in the last, 3 weeks, 4 weeks?
Yeah.
That number is just...
The month of March was...
outstanding for the boys.
Quality month.
And the only way it's outstanding for the boys is for you people to subscribe and rate 5 stars, just like Willie Boy was just telling you, but I wanted to double down on it, and it gets really annoying, but it's special to us because you're making us more special. All in all, dude, you guys are day one, killing it for us. Even the day twos and the now present people.
Day twos.
And bring them on. Just bring them all on.
Growing.
Dude.
They can't all be day ones.
But they can't all be day ones.
Everybody can be boys, though.
It's like going to Michigan or Nebraska. Just because you weren't there, you weren't the first graduating class.
Right.
Doesn't mean you don't have that pride when you leave and you have your M-ring or whatever they give you at Nebraska when you leave. What is it, like a loaf of corn? What do you guys call that?
We get a blanket.
You get a blanket.
Yeah, we get a blanket.
They get a blanket
with an N on it.
There's the same lady for 200 years has been knitting the same blanket for people in Nebraska. It's unbelievable. The Fountain of Youth is something special. But shout out, no free shout out, of the week. It's been special to all of us. And everyone's done a great job. Bloss like to put a little roadblock in front of me last week. I know you've already heard it.
I listened to it.
I know it did.
Bloss said two. He said two people. He used two shout outs.
We all owe Will Compton an apology as well, because we did a shout out, no free shout out of the week. Every single one of us brushed over the fact that he just had his firstborn child. So let's literally give a round of applause.
The day after. You guys did the intro day after.
Not even 24 hours after that beautiful little nugget was born.
But you kind of did it. Because number one, you didn't even give your free shout out.
No, because your boy's a fucking idiot. And you know when he just starts talking, things go a million different directions.
You go, my shout out, no free shout out of the week is, oh, and by the way, I haven't even mentioned Will had a kid. Everybody's clapping. And then you say something else. And then you don't even, the shout out, no free shout out was gone. Yeah.
Tyreek Hill did make a lot of money. When your child makes you that much money, we might shout her out. You know?
Yeah. Hopefully she does.
Hey.
Speaking of her making us money.
What?
We got the girl dad star.
Let's go, boys.
So not Tyreek Hill numbers, but, you know, we'll get 20,
it could be.
20, 30 bucks.
No, it could be Tyreek Hill numbers.
When
we keep doing this like we've been doing, bud.
I know, dude.
Baby merch.
Let's go.
Baby merch.
One more time now,
baby merch.
Shut it down. I love it, dude. The baby merch is outstanding. I think all dads... soon to be dads, maybe dads who maybe went to go get that gallon of milk and that carton of cigarettes and never returned, might want to get it too. Maybe it might make them think, I should probably go back and be a better father.
Yeah.
This is the stuff. We're changing lives out here with this merchandise.
We are. Everybody's fired up. I've gotten DMs. I'm getting this ASAP. Like, friends of mine. That's what makes you feel the best, is when your boys or your boy's wife hits you and is like, yo, I'm getting this ASAP. Like, yo, I'm copping this now. That. Just fires me up, man.
You want to use names?
People who hit us up.
Yeah.
Caitlin Vigil, Zach Vigil's wife.
Let's go, Zachy.
Not that we have anything going on. Matter of fact, Caitlin Vigil, shout out the girl. She is pregnant and they're having their kid in July. Been a long journey for them. They've had to do a lot of different things to try and get pregnant. So big shout out to them.
Yeah. Recently pregnant.
They recently went public about it.
Mm.
So it's like one of those things they had to get long
past
in the process.
That 12 week mark.
More than that.
Really? Yeah,
they went through a lot of different things, but
yeah, their story to tell.
Exactly. Exactly. And then Alan, my barber. He cuts
the same
me.
Barber that gave you that that fucking Peaky Blinders haircut?
No. When Peaky Blinders comes out, when Peaky Blinders comes out on Netflix, I'll get that thing back going. Alan will probably do that. But no, Alan, he cuts myself, Harold. Jayon, he cuts a few guys. But anyway, Alan was like, yo, I'm copping this right now.
Is Alan the thicker dude that's always in the locker room? Is that the same guy?
I don't know. I wasn't in the locker room.
No, he was there when you were there, though.
No, I don't think so.
No. All right. He was a thicker dude. Phenomenal beard. Always cutting the boys up.
Alan's CrossFit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's CrossFit.
Future back problems, but looks great right now.
Probably.
Yeah.
His wife is really good at CrossFit. They just had a baby a month ago.
Really?
So I would go into the barber. He'd tell me, hey, we're about to have our kid. We're talking shop a little bit.
They say spring is the season of love, but it seems like love's already happened.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
That winter piece, that December, January deal, I guess. And then it goes a little, I don't know what the fucking months, how that month works, but you know what I'm saying.
Dude, I'm fired up though, man. Like, it's just good to.
Before we get into you and the whole process, I want you to talk about it as much as you want to talk about it. How about you give us your shout out? No free shout out of the week.
Oh, we're doing it. Is this what we're doing?
I would love to hear yours because you've missed.
I have several. I want to pull a blast. Like, I'm fired up to hear about the shout out, no free shout outs because Taylor brought it up. I want to do this bit. At first, it was like shout out, no free shout out, or shout out, no free shout out,
shout out of the week.
Yeah.
But now it's just shout out, no free shout out of the week.
Yeah.
Which is good because the boys came to me. I don't know if you talked to them before, but they go, hey, it's a bit of a mouthful. And I go, that's what she said. And they said, all jokes aside.
Oh, you're talking about, you're talking about dumbing it down?
Yeah, they said that you need to dumb that down a little bit.
Not dumbing it down, simplifying it. I think that was a solid move. But you guys ran your first one and I had FOMO, dude. I had FOMO that I didn't get to do the shout out of the week. Because what were your guys' the first week? I know Blasi, it was George Kittle, of course.
Yeah.
of course. He was George Kittle. Hey, fucking JP, shouts out Japan.
Yeah. Jack hit Eating Alone. That was a big one for him. Dude.
So slept on.
And then Garrett doing something as predictable as Bloss, lacrosse, made it to ESPN The O Show.
Hey, I think you need those, bro. I think that was a very good one because it's like a good headline. Right. Plug in lacrosse.
Be afraid to grab the mic, Garrett, if you want to talk, baby.
Garrett's a big lacrosse. He's a lacrosse coach for high school, right? Was. Okay.
Yeah. He now works for Bloss with the boys.
He loves lacrosse. So the fact that he wants to give lacrosse a little love and pub, I think it's a nice mix. It's a nice mixed bag.
Go ahead, Garrett. What were you going to say?
Rejected. So
I love how you went. That's hilarious.
I just chirped the ref, you know how it goes, Taylor.
You must be zebraing sometime, you know what I'm saying?
It was after the game. I didn't think you could still get a flag after the game, so I just didn't let up at all.
Cuck? What'd you say to him?
Vision was blurry, so.
Oh yeah, we're seeing
it
red.
Was one of those, yeah.
We're seeing that 2018.
Are we kicking dirt? Are we kicking dirt on the umpire or the ref?
No dirt.
There's no dirt.
No, I think it's like grass.
I'm thinking cricket.
You're thinking baseball.
Baseball
I love it. We've all made mistakes. I did the baby month thing and I fucked that whole deal up. So no, I get it. We all
have
issues.
You're thinking of baseball, but.
Yeah. I'm thinking of cricket. Dude goes across the pond and pulls a sport from there. That's outstanding. That's fucking outstanding. So, okay. You got several.
Those were a couple. I'm like shouting out the boys. I feel like I'm shouting out you guys. Shout out for coming up with the segment. Shout out everybody partaking in it. I feel like absolutely crushing it. The fucking fire drill, JP. You're a subtle laugh, dude. You're a funny cat.
You do crush the Twitter game, dude. You do. Are you still doing dollar giveaways?
No, but now that you say that, this Friday, dollar giveaway.
You're giving a dollar away.
Stay tuned.
What do they got to do to get the dollar?
Follow him on Twitter.
Yeah, you got to. Well, no. It's not about me. You got to follow the bus.
Yeah.
And then you have to DM me and say, hey, finished. And then I'll sign the dollar.
Hey,
finish. Yeah. I finished the week.
You gotta send me
what?
Finish of the week. Send me a picture of the glizzy you ate for lunch. Put it down, finish, and I'll send you a signed dollar.
Hey, JP just says, tell me to finish, and then JP just DMs him a picture of him like with his shirt off on it, with his back showing.
Received.
Yeah.
Received. So what do they have to do again, dude? Because I don't want people to miss out on this dollar. Hit us one more time with it all.
Take a picture of the glizzy you ate for lunch.
Okay. Follow Bussin.
Take a picture of the glizzy. DM it to me and say finished. And then you're good. You're into the drawing.
You're entered into the drawing.
Yeah, you're in.
I can't wait to see how many people enter.
His Twitter just so people know where to DM.
But here's the thing, though. Are they DMing you or are they DMing the Bussin account?
DM me. The Bussin account is already too flooded.
So they got to follow you. They got to follow you to DM you.
I have my account set different. Yeah.
Anybody can DM me.
Anybody can DM me. Yeah, it's public. So, hey, let me see those glizzies, y'all.
Holy shit. That affected me in a way that made me a better person.
Oh, fuck, man.
So we have to do this formally, Will. Because this segment is a very serious thing.
I know it is. I know I'm like a kid running around a candy store, just excited.
So let me just serve this alley-oop up for you and you can go ahead and slam this however you want. Will, please give us your shout out, no free shout outs of the week.
Charo Compton.
Let's go.
Is my shout out. No free shout out of the week.
Hey, you, dude, you were really close. I didn't think you were gonna shout her out.
And
bigger miss than Taylor picking Tyreek yesterday.
Just continue to shout out everything else and just not even get to it.
It would have been tough.
That would have been a tough bro. Deal. Because you know Charles watches.
Yeah, she's a tier two. She dabbles in the world. Yeah. She keeps up. She likes all the stuff. She's about it, dude.
I'm
she's
pretty sure Taylor's a tier three.
It's all right, though. They're all welcome. Everybody's fucking welcome. Everybody's fucking welcome.
Everybody's welcome.
We love all of them, but there are levels. Uh-huh. We love all of them, but there are levels.
Yeah, no question.
But, dude, Charo, holy shit, boys. I'm talking 47 hours of laboring. Well, she started her contractions at like 9 o'clock Friday night, and they were lighter. Like, we're watching, we started watching the movie I was talking about last night, like Death on the Nile. Oh. We started watching Death on the Nile. That's a phenomenal series. I'm stoked that you're doing that. And yeah. I can't wait for you to be like, hey, you want to come to Disney with us?
Yeah.
But she started laboring Friday night at like 9 p.m. We're watching a movie. She's on her ball. She's, you know, moving around. We're getting into positions. And then we end up getting into bed. And are you laughing, Jake? Can we have some maturity? Can we have some maturity about
you're
labor?
You're at a woman going through the miracle of birth right now.
We're switching positions. the boy, you know, I end up passing out pretty quickly. She's up, you know, breathing, doing her contraction thing. And I'm like, hey, wake me if you need me. That's not like, I wasn't about it. She's just like, hey, get some sleep type of deal. She wakes me up about 3 a.m.
Hey, when they do hit you with that, though, you're like, all right, but you sure? But in your head, you're like, let me get this.
Yeah. She's like, no, I don't think it'll happen. Like, I don't think it'll get where it's at until like tomorrow morning or something. But it was like 3:30 a.m. She wakes me up, babe, I'm in pain. Can you run a bath for me? I go run a bath for her. We get her into the tub. She's feeling a lot better in the hot water. The faucet's like hitting her low back like that, like counter pressure that helps.
Oh, so she's in like a child's pose type of deal.
No, she's kind of like sitting, and then the water is just like hitting her back. And we have that little sprayer in the bathtub, so you kind of
weird flex. I like it. Okay.
Reach
around. Yeah.
The boy goes back. I go to sleep. She's apparently like yelling for me to come help her and stuff like that. And I slept through it because I was out like a light. God damn it, I was out like a light. I probably wake back up around 5:30 or 6. And she wasn't still in the tub. She made it back in the bed, but she was like, it starts picking up for her a little bit. And we go through like throughout that morning, she's going 30 minutes on of like activity being like sitting on a ball, walking up and down the stairs sideways, like doing different stuff. And then 30 minutes of like rest, putting her in like some stretch position where legs over all that. All the future dads, you guys will learn one day. Just like Taylor says, everybody's going to learn one day. So we're doing that 30 on 30 off, and it starts picking up for her. We hit up our doula. Our doula's like, you know, where do you think you're at? We're measuring all the contractions. They're like in between 7 and 10 minutes apart. So nothing close. When we were going to the hospital, you want to be around like 4 or 5. And then once it got to like, you know, noon, they started to be around like 4 or 5, some still around 6 or 7, but she was in pain. She wanted to go in. She wanted to get checked. So we end up going to the hospital. We get into the hospital like 1:30, and they check her, and she's like 2-3 is what they give her. So I'm sitting there in my head thinking.
Explain what 2-3 means.
So to start pushing, you need to be at 10 centimeters dilated. And water needs to end up breaking, all that kind of stuff. But you need to be at 10 centimeters dilated. And she was like at a 2-3. So in my head, when they're telling her that, I'm thinking they're trying to give her a little bit more than it actually is. So in my head, I'm thinking, oh, she's at a 2 right now. So we got a little day ahead of us. And she's going. We're trying to get admitted into the birth center. Birth center, you can't get in there until you're at least 5 centimeters dilated. So we're in triage. Is that the word? We're sitting in triage, where it's like the waiting room of her on the bed and stuff. Step one, making any plan. Charles being making, we had a birth plan, we had a birth vision. Step one to any
now,
of
hold
that
on.
Stuff.
I believe Charles referred to it as a birth guide. Because you
no
don't
birth
wanna,
vision. She birth called vision, it her birth vision.
That's right.
Yes. But number one rule for any plan, any birth plan, any plan that made, period. No plan ever goes according to plan. So number one, she has to get IVs because she's dehydrated and her blood sugar's low. They're checking the babies.
At what time are they starting to give you ideas?
This is like 2 p.m.
Okay, so you're at 1:30.
We got into the hospital at 1:30. We're kind of going.
And they're automatically,
we kind of
like,
went an hour or something like that. Let's just say that. And they're kind of like, hey, before we take you off of continuous monitoring, we need to keep you on this because we're not getting acceleration we need right now from the baby. Mm-hmm. The baby was really stagnant at around like 160, heart rate or whatever.
Nothing to be concerned about at that
point. Nothing to be concerned about.
But just saying, hey, we got to keep an eye on that.
Correct.
Got it.
So we have to keep you on continuous heart monitoring. She wanted to do intermittent to where she doesn't have to wear the wires the whole time.
Yeah.
And so one. Oh,
can I just ask, I know this is your story, but what is the benefit of intermitting having the wires on you?
I have no. Oh, okay. So Charles wanted a room with the tub. So if you're getting in the tub, unless you have like something that is like waterproof and you're on continuous, you can't get in the water.
Gotcha.
Because if it gets submerged, it obviously it stops.
Yeah, electricity and water usually don't mix.
Yeah, you don't want to mix that.
Yeah, right. It's like Pokemon.
So you want to do intermittent. So when it's off of her, she can get into the water and get into the tub and everything else. Mm-hmm. Great question. I'm glad you're asking these questions along the way.
I'll keep jumping in then.
Yes, please do. And so they're like, they advised her to get an IV so that way they could get some glucose into her and get her hydrated. So that way it might accelerate the baby's heart rate because they want to see some variability in the baby because the baby is really stagnant. Again, nothing to be alarmed about. They're just wanting to do that before they take her off the monitors. Mm-hmm. So she didn't want to get IVs. We obviously talk her into IVs. The whole IV thing was just like getting stuck, which I understand. But at the same time, it's like, hey, we're going to get stuck and get these IVs in. You're chugging water like Aqua Willie does during the spring busing tour.
Which is the fastest I've ever seen.
Yes.
So she's killing it.
Yeah, she's like, trust me, I'll drink water. And she's like, drinking it. And I'm like, I'm in my head like wanting to make a joke, but I'm not going to make a joke because we're labor. But I'm thinking like, she's not taking none of this water.
Right.
But anyway, she gets the IVs. Nothing really changes. The contractions pick up. Doula gets in. We're doing all the counter pressure on her. Like I'm talking, I'm squeezing the hips. I'm pushing the low back. We're doing all this stuff. They're picking up. A couple hours go by. She gets checked again to see if we can get to the birth center so we can be in more of like a comfortable space, right? Dim lighting, all that stuff versus like hospital room. And she gets checked. No movement. So we're like, you know, I'm sitting there. I'm like, do we go back home?
Now, let me interject for a second. Because I know the whole story. But at the first time you get checked and there's no movement, what's the vibe like with Charo?
The vibe's all right. It's more of like, damn, I want to get into. Char was like, should we go into a, like a birth labor room, like a labor room here in, you know, the hospital that we're in versus waiting to get into the
St.
birth
Thomas,
center.
Right?
Yeah, St. Thomas. She's like, do we just take a birth room, delivery room here versus going into the birth center? And I'm thinking like, don't you want to get into the birth center to where, you know, we can do all this stuff? And I'm thinking they got a bed in there. So the boy, you know, when I got to take a nap,
there's
a bed in there. It's not a couch. And
you're being for her, but you also got to think about a little bit.
I'm being
yourself.
For her. Exactly. There's a little bit in there like, hey, it's going to be a long day if we're still only at two after a few hours. We've been going all morning. And you're only at a two, three. And so she's down by either staying in triage or getting in another room. So I'm like, all right, well, if you want to do that, you're not concerned about getting in the birth center because I'm just trying to read her. I'm like, all right, if it's truly like if you're ready to pivot and do that. So we go into, the delivery room with like it's got a bath, a couch and. The bed she's like laying on. Dude, she ends up getting in there. Contractions pick up. They're more intense. They get closer together. So the doula's sitting there like, hey, you know, she should be progressed along because she's trying not to get checked all the time. It's super uncomfortable. She's like, the women are like getting fisted when they're getting checked because they're checking their cervix. And so she gets checked. She's finally at 3-4 is what they gave. So we made some progress, which is good. Like everything should be moving. There's some variability in the baby a lot more. So they think things are moving along. Bro, for the next 16 hours, she stayed at a 4. 16.
And this is no epidural.
No epidural. She's not an epidural yet. She didn't want to do IVs. She wanted to go as natural as she could. She wanted to do no epidural, no Pitocin?
Pitocin. Pitocin is like a bigger
getting
deal,
induced. Yeah, right. Like getting induced. She didn't want to get induced. She didn't want to have an epidural. She didn't want to do all these things. And dude, she was in labor at 4 centimeters for another 16 hours. And we probably got checked every 3 or 4 hours. And every time it picked up, bro, I'm talking, we get her in the tub once she's getting a lot of pressure down in her low back and in her ass and stuff, which again, the nurses and everybody coming in is talking about, oh, this is a good sign because it's getting closer. Mm-hmm. And I'm down in the tub, like, you know, we're counter pressure. Doula and I were swapping out like a NASCAR pit stop, bro. So, hey, you go take a break. I'll go in, tap in, all this stuff. But the doula, she was phenomenal. And they're talking like everything's progressing along. Well, before the last time we checked, before we ended up getting the epidural, it was like hour 13 probably. They broke her water for her because the water wasn't breaking. They're like, maybe that'll further things along. They break her water. She goes along the next few hours. She's in fucking, there's a difference between pain and suffering. And my wife was starting to suffer. And it was hard to watch. That's where the boy got a little emotional at this time. Cause I'm like, I might even get a little emotional right now, but I'm sitting there and I'm like looking at him. I'm like, hey, look at me. I'm like, breathe. We're breathing together. We're doing all this stuff. And she's like fucking suffering. And you're sitting there and you're like, I mean, you know, like you're in the birth room watching your wife go through this stuff. And you're like, fuck man. Like you know, I hope she brings up an epidural because I'm thinking in my head, but she's wanting me to be strong for her. She's like, you be strong. You try and keep me out of like doing this stuff. And she's
which I haven't been in that situation because Taylan didn't do that. But when you're trying to be strong for somebody, when you know there's something that could just help them.
Right.
It's so hard not to bring that up.
For sure.
It's gotta be.
And she's like, I think I gotta get the epidural. Like, I want the epidural. I want the epidural. And she's like, again, she's suffering, bro. Like, where she's like, just remind me it's pain with purpose. Like, all this stuff, like just to keep her mind focused, breathe with me, do all these things. But she's fucking suffering, bro. And so the doc comes in. We get her an epidural. It's 3:30 in the morning. Epidural people come in. She's not hype. Obviously, she's not hype about IV needles. This goddamn epidural needle. Holy shit.
Now, hold on. Quick pause. How many times did she reference wanting the epidural before you were like, okay, let's get you the epidural? Because you said at one point, you're like, hey, you're trying not to tell, let her. You want to be strong for her. Do all the things she wanted you to do for her. I was
more just like, questioning, making sure, like making sure that's what she wanted to do.
Yeah.
And it was very obvious that like, if she wanted to do that, like the doula, like we were all, cause the whole birth vision thing, like everybody's like, okay, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that long. I'm not trying to push her there.
Yeah.
And so the epidural comes in. Now, mind you, this epidural needle is a monster and she's not hype about that. She's battling through these contractions. So when the epidural people come in, it's like you have to get away from her and they have to do the epidural thing. So she's fighting through another couple contractions, like suffering again, until she gets this epidural in her. She gets the epidural in her. They start situating her around. They're like, your legs are getting warm. Everything is working out. Everything seems to be going good because she wants to sleep. She hasn't slept. She only slept for like 2 hours since Friday night. And so she's just like exhausted. She's like, I just want to sleep before all this comes. So she's like, I want to get the epidural. Let's start there. And so they turn her around. I get her sleep mask and stuff so we can put the sleep mask over. She's starting to like feel a little bit of the epidural. I lay down to go to fall asleep finally. And I go out. I'm out quick. I like wrap my hoodie around my face and I'm just like laid on the couch with, you know, one of the pillows.
Mouth wide open.
I'm exhausted. I'm like, okay, we're going to get some rest now.
Yeah.
And I fall asleep right away. Apparently the epidural doesn't work. It starts to work, but it goes away. Whether her body metabolizes it, they put it in the wrong spot. The epidural doesn't work. I don't hear anything. She's apparently going through all the same stuff for the next 2.5-3 hours. When I wake up to her going through another contraction, and I'm like, oh, what's going on? They're like,
did you have earbuds in? Did you have
No, I was just out.
So when Charlotte's going through a contraction, she's not like screaming.
Oh yeah, she's making noise. Not like screaming, but she's like, you know, they make some, yeah.
They're trying to get through it.
They're doing like a moan exhale.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
They can like vibrate their body because it helps them. They say it like makes it feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
But no, she's making noise. I guess I just didn't hear it, bro. Obviously felt shitty, but I get up and I'm like, oh, what happened? They're like, she's like, it didn't work. I haven't slept at all. I'm like, holy shit, bro.
And you think like she'd like scream. Actually, but obviously she hasn't slept for so long.
But we have the doula too.
Yeah.
Doula was MVP. Doula was major.
What is doula?
So doula is like a midwife.
Yeah. It's like we didn't use a doula, but I'm pretty sure it's like that medium person in between you and the nurses. That kind of will give a different perspective. Tell you what else is going on. I think it's more of like a holistic vibe. Like it's more
they
know other stuff like the bathtub and
right.
Shit
they
like
know
that.
Basically all there is you need to know about like giving birth. So they give you options. They guide you in whatever your birth vision wants to be, whether you want natural, whether you want, you know, not natural, all that stuff. They just know. They know all the counter pressures. They do a lot of stuff to where if it was just the wife and husband in there, it helps like alleviate some of the dad stuff and all like the dad not kind of knowing what to do. And the doula is there to like be that, like that head coach through it all.
First time dad, you're an amateur, dude. These people are pros. They've been delivering babies left and right. They're juggling things around, no problem.
Right, right. And so our doula was awesome. Shout out, Kat. But
no free shout outs.
She's like, yeah, I haven't slept. And so the nurse comes in and they're talking like, let's try and give another dose of the epidural, but also like we might have to do it again. And she's like, you just see her like crushed that she has to go through that epidural process again because they're laying there like by themselves, no counter pressure, nobody helping them through contractions until the epidural gets in. And mind you, the first lady, she was like missing. She's like, we need her knees to come up more. And we're like pushing her knees up more so her spine could be rounded and stuff. Like, dude, it's fucking
that sounds
nuts.
Wild.
Yes, bro. And the second pit crew came in for the epidural. They get it in right away. It goes in at like 7:30 in the morning, 8 o'clock. She gets like 2 to 3 hours of sleep. Finally, like she's like resting. And then when she gets the epidural in, she moves to 5 to 6 dilated. And then she went 5 to 6 and then was at 5 to 6 for a few hours, 3 to 4 hours. And again, it wasn't moving on a whole lot. Like the contractions were the same. The contractions got farther apart when she was on the epidural. So you want them to be close because that tells you like something's coming.
And she's not feeling these epidurals, but there's a monitor because they have things on the belly telling them like they can, you can show when the person's having contractions, yeah, so they can tell when it's happening.
Right. So she's sleeping and you'll be able to see that she's eating the contractions
going through right now.
Right.
You don't know it.
Unfortunately, with the epidural, you're numb, so you don't feel anything.
Waist down, homie.
And she's sleeping, thank God. And like, dude, it was just insane. And then we think everything's moving along. And then again, it's kind of like the 4 centimeter thing. We were at 5'6". We were like the 6 mark for a long time. I think I even might have texted you guys 7 at one point. Mm. We were at 7 for a while, but nothing was progressing.
And you did an outstanding job of keeping us in the loop because I know Taylan, she was worried to death about you guys. And for me, I'm like,
oh, yeah,
text? Like, right. I don't want to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm also like, they're just kind of going through it right now. Like, it'll pass.
For sure.
But Taylan was worried, taking you were like getting back to her.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
Anytime she'll like go through a contraction or the doula's involved doing something to where all the nurses are up around, you like go back and hit like you guys, her family, like the group chats that people are like asking questions. Because it's been a long time too. Like, you know, Taylor, we're going into labor. We're thinking that you guys are going to come back after AZ on Sunday.
And because some labors,
they go from like 4 hours and it can go as long as God knows how long because we ended up getting a C-section. But at 47 hours, bro, the last...
Spoiler alert, dude.
Yeah, you're sorry, my fault. The last several hours, she's sitting at a 7 and she ends up going like, okay, like making the decision to get induced. And they're like, we'll do a very minimal amount of Pitocin. Yes, Pitocin. And we'll do a very minimal amount to start inducing you into labor because we had tried everything. We broke the water. They broke the water. They did epidural. None of this stuff, like her water didn't break on its own. None of this stuff, right? So they're kind of helping it along and they're thinking the epidural might have calmed her stress down because her body's been working so hard. She's extremely stressed, again, suffering to where dilation is more of like, it's not as much the baby as it is your body just naturally getting, you know, dilating more. So that stuff helped her, but we were stagnant again. So she ends up getting Pitocin, a small dose to help induce labor. We go from like 6 to 7 and we sat there for the rest of the time before we ended up making the decision to get the C-section, which was like, that was a bit of a deal. Like none of this stuff, all the things we did, almost 0% was according to plan. But the way I know we did, this is an entire shout out, no free shout out of the week deal that I just did. Mm-hmm. But the entire way, the shout out is mainly because of the way Charo handled every pivot along the way. Because she's very much like, when we do therapy and everything, she's somebody that very much like wants to be in control, loves information, and then figuring out like what she wants to do with the information. And so since none of it went according to plan and the way she was pivoting through it, like the IV was difficult to talk her into, which is funny to look back on because the IV is just an IV. But to the point of like, you know, wanting them to break her water, like deciding that she was going to get an epidural, like all this stuff, bro. Like she fought for 47 fucking hours,
dude,
before she got that C-section. Almost and it's like, days. Yeah, bro, it was crazy. It was crazy, but she crushed it, man. When Cerulean came out, it was awesome. Like you're like in the C-section operating room or whatever. And then
explain how that all goes down. We didn't have a C-section, but I heard it's like for the dad who's completely coherent.
Right.
It's a wild process.
Yeah, it's crazy. So Taylor and Taylan, they end up getting, they do their Arizona trip and get back that day. Mm. They land like, hey, what do you need? And I'm like, yeah, I'm sure I'll be hungry here in a couple hours because I would just go down to the cafeteria, grab some at the cafeteria. And they're like, hey, what do you need? So they go, they bring a huge bag of food over there. Like, what's Charles going to want? I'm thinking in my head, like, I don't even know if we're close for Charles. Charles not close to being done yet. And since she ended up getting like, on Pitocin and the epidural, I don't know if it's the epidural, but I know Pitocin, you got to have a liquid diet. So she couldn't eat anyway. And it was one of those things like, I don't think she's going to be done anytime soon. So there won't be a hot meal ready for her whenever she is done. But they bring a monster bag of food, dude, that played clutch. They were with I saw them right before I went back to go do the C-section.
Literally minutes. Will got a phone call when I was sitting with him.
Yeah.
And like, I just to come in real quick, we land. To me, it's fucking wild that Will even went through the process of having a baby while I'm in Arizona having a blast. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it's just crazy. We talk about all the time how you like people go through shit and you're just kind of living your own life and you're like, I hope they're all right.
Yeah.
But you did like, we go to Arizona, they're in labor. We come back from Arizona, you're still in labor. So we lamb and go get Will this food, bring it to him. And we were able to walk through, which was so different because with Willow, our youngest, it was like during, like right in the middle of COVID. So no one could get in and out. For us, they're like, we're like room 3201 or something like that, whatever your room was. And like, yeah, just down the hall, it's right there. And I'm like, fuck, are we about to go in here? Am I about to go see?
Yeah, because I saw you guys in the hallway.
Oh, we were going to knock on the door. We for sure were going to come in. I would never want to just
saying, like, I was like, oh, yeah, they're sitting somewhere with you. Like, let me go try and find them.
And he just walk around the corner,
and I just see Taylor's big ass. They're, like, walking down. Taylor and Taylor, and I'm like, oh, shit.
And literally.
Again, like, bro.
And the talk of a C-section hasn't happened yet, but in my mind, I'm like, man, it'd be so dope if we were here when they had the baby. Like, and I, like, for me, it's totally different than having a kid, because when you're having a kid, it's like, the stress. You hope everything goes well for mom. You want the baby to be safe. Like, this new experience, this new, like, responsibility is about to come into your life.
Yeah.
You don't know how you're going to feel the first time. But for me, I'm Uncle T. Like, I'm ripping around. I'm so fucking stoked. I'm legit about, I'm like getting happy tears in my eyes. I'm so excited about this. And Will comes out the door and you can just see his face. And you're just like, my boy has been fucking through it right now. Can't imagine. You know how they say you see how the other guy looks, the other guy being Charo? That's, I can't imagine. Oh, you know, her hair is probably fucking like this. She's just has had 2 hours of sleep in 48 hours, just truly being a warrior. But I see you, and literally, I almost cried the minute I saw you. Cause I was like, damn, my boy's.
At that point, it was at that. Charo and I, we were just having the conversation about the C-section too.
Yeah. Which is
we
like
were at hour 40, Charo was hour like 47
in the beginning, which everybody is, right? And you never want it to happen. But her coming to grips with that, you coming to grips with that, and you were even saying before, you went in for the C-section that you were kind of playing the, are you sure this is what you want to do?
Yeah. Like she was bringing it up and the nurses were talking about it. The nurses left the room. Cause we were like, let's just us talk. And so it's me, Charo, and the doula. And then it's just me and Charo. And we're sitting there talking. And it's like, they go through so much hell. And I just remember sitting when Charo, the doula, and I were all sitting there and you talk about this hell that's going to happen. Obviously we don't think it's going to be 47 hours of labor, but they talk about how times are going to be tough. If you actually don't want these things and you want to do a natural birth, that it's going to be hard for you because you're going to see your wife go through this stuff, but it's important that you like stay strong and everything else.
Right.
Obviously, we're all sleep deprived and we're all energy's low. Charles, extremely like everybody's emotional at this point. And so Charles like saying like, I'm going to do it. I can't do this anymore. And I'm playing the card of like, she's like, I feel like here's where I slightly messed up. I'm going to get out in front of this guys.
Good job.
But I'm vulnerable enough to say this.
Good.
She's like, it seems like you think I'm just giving up. The first words out of my mouth, it kind of seems that way. I did that for a little more entertainment factor. Yeah. But I was like, I mean, babe, where you, I said, where you were yesterday suffering versus where you are right now with the epidural in your body, it's a different, you're going through something different. And she was like, babe, I'm good with it. And I'm like, you said you do not want to get a C-section. Like you wanted to have a natural birth. I'm reminding her of all these things. And you just see the tears, like her eyes welting up a little bit, tears coming out. She's like, I just can't do this anymore. Like I've hit my threshold. And I'm like,
you got David Goggins in there.
Right. You know what I'm saying? I knew this could happen.
I got 40% more. Yeah. We think we're about to quit. You got 40%.
I knew this could happen. I called a couple guys. David Goggins and Jocko Willink are coming in to give you a
speech. They're walking right now. And, things are going right? Good.
Yeah.
Oh, birth plan didn't go according to plan. Good.
Oh, 7 centimeters dilated still after 4 hours? Good. Oh, fucking. But yeah, bro, it's like you just... You're sitting there and then the doula comes back in and, you know, it's more of like, oh, she thinks I'm going to be disappointed in her and I'm not wanting her to feel that way. I'm just trying to remind her. I'm like, babe, I'm just trying to play the card that we expressed about me playing. She's like, I've just hit my threshold. I'm so happy with everything. How much I fought through this. She's like, I just don't see light at the end of the tunnel. Like I don't, we've been stagnant at the 7 centimeters now for hours. And she's like, I could be in here 48 hours and then I have to get an emergency C-section. And during all this, when she got the Pitocin and everything else, she started getting shakes. This is like, you know, early, like 40th hour, 41st hour. She starts getting the shakes. She starts running a fever, a high white blood cell count. So she starts becoming a risk for like an infection. Nothing terrible, but like she's at high risk now for like an infection. So all those things considered, like, you know, she decides like, yes, I am absolutely 1000% positive. Like I'm fucking done with this shit. And so they come in, we order the C-section. That's when I go out, I'm updating everybody. And then I go out to get my food with Taylor and Taylor and I see them. End up getting the call. And they're like, hey, they're about to do it.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I got to go. We're fucking, the baby's going to be here.
He gets a call and he's just like, kind of picks up his phone and you can hear their person says, hey, we're ready. That's all they say. And Will goes, all right, I'll be right in. And he kind of puts the phone down and he's like, right, I'm going to go have a kid. And he's out of there, dude.
Dude, it was nuts. Then you put your scrubs on and you wait. They go and dress Char up and do all this stuff for like the surgical procedure and everything. You got like a cover, but like a clear cover as well. So that way when the baby comes, they could show you the baby because they were afraid that she had fucking, I'm gonna butcher this up.
You want to say melancholy, but it's not melancholy.
Meconium?
It's, do you want me to say what it is? I don't know how much you want to talk about the baby's birth.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it's when there's the baby has its first stool in the uterus, and then she ingests some of it.
Right. Usually the baby comes out and they have their first stool shortly after they come out. Baby has their stool while she's in the uterus, so she's covered in, like, you know, basically baby shit. And so they were going to have to take her out and bring her to the table and everything. Like, again, nothing went according to plan at all, bro. And it was so nuts. And when she's showing us the baby, I'm sitting there kind of thinking, like, Charles, like, starting to cry. I'm sitting there looking at the baby like it's like Jurassic Park. Somebody's just showing me some alien. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you're just looking at something like, so
I was like, aware. Because usually I heard when you get a C-section, doped
Charles
up.
Was aware because she had the epidural. And they just did, I forget what it's called, but she stayed conscious.
She wasn't drugged.
She wasn't drugged.
No, I know they don't. I don't think anybody goes unconscious when they have
a
C-section. When they have a C-section, but they do drug them up. Tough. That's how you get ants.
Water broke, yeah.
They don't like put them to sleep, like anesthesia, but they give them like a drug where they get super loopy. Well, Charles wasn't.
Yeah, she wasn't like, she wasn't super loopy like that. Like, she was in it. She was like aware. She's getting emotional and stuff. We get to hold the baby. She doesn't get to go skin to skin. Cause again, the meconium, they have to like take her through this process, this system and everything. And so I go back with the baby while they're doing everything, cleaning her off and doing stuff with her. And she's having trouble breathing. So she's back in NICU, like right now, she's still back in NICU because not that she's having trouble breathing, but the airflow down into her lungs isn't going exactly how you want it to because of her swallowing the meconium. Mm-hmm. They gotta suck the meconium out. She's gotta like have her stool. She's gotta pee and poop.
How do they suck the meconium out? They put a tube down there?
They put a tube out and they start sucking stuff out.
Yeah, that's wild. Yeah, because usually when the baby has a natural birth, they cry, and that's how you know that their lungs no longer have fluid in it. And they're like, all
right.
That's
right. Crying's a good thing
when a baby cries.
Yeah, crying's a good thing.
Yeah.
Which she was crying, but they're like, we got to take her back. And they're doing all this stuff to her. But she's basically in NICU until her body's not working. Like, her body's working really fast, like breathing and stuff like that. But she's going to be all good. Like, everything's all good. There was never a scare of anything with the baby. Never, like, a scare of anything with Charo, like, with all the procedure and the process of everything else. It was just a fucking long, goddamn, she was in the trenches for 47 hours. Dude, it was just insane. And I personally had no clue like how any of this stuff works. So some people are saying how they've labored for like a few hours. And then my mom labored for like 15 hours, stuff like that. So I'm thinking, fuck, man. Like, I was texting with somebody who did a natural birth and they went 50 hours. So I'm thinking like, this can go a long time. 50.
Holy shit.
Yes, bro. But it was fucking nuts, man.
You're not really like, you guys haven't left the hospital yet. So you haven't had that like, holy shit, no one's coming to save us moment when you're like leaving.
Not yet. Not with the baby. Hospital. Like, we don't get to leave with Cerulean until like, I don't know when. Like, she's got to start weaning off some of that oxygen and everything else. But like, Charles, she got discharged last night. So we got her home, which sucks because we go back and forth to the hospital.
Yeah.
And Charles obviously recovering from a C-section. So tougher to walk. We're wheeling her around everywhere and stuff like that. But
How long did they say the C-section takes to recover from?
6 to 8 weeks.
That's tough. Charles is a super active cat too.
Yeah. 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 I don't think she's in a hurry. She's definitely like, you know, all women, I feel like they go to the phase of like, fuck, my body sucks right now.
Yeah.
Type of thing. But
kind of just like the Adam Sandler from Click, like picking it up and moving it around. Yeah. Like, yeah. Fucking wild.
Yeah.
Underrated movie. It really is. Dude,
Click is such a fucking
made
good
me
movie.
Cry. Made me cry so fucking hard.
Every time.
Yeah. Unbelievable. But you did it, dude. And the baby watch is over.
The baby watch is over, bro.
Ah, dude, that's
unbelievable. Baby watch is over. Yeah, Little Roo, man. Cerulean
Bell. Or Lean.
I saw your tweet, Lean.
Yeah.
What's the Lean?
Are you on that Lean?
Did you see the L-E-A-N? You're like, let me go
Cerulean? I don't know. There's an L-E-A-N in there.
This man, Taylor, hits me up like, hey, so how do you pronounce her name? I'm thinking in my head, bro. Number one, this man wanted to know the name the entire time. Mm-hmm. Best secret I finally ever kept.
And he was close a couple times, but he fucking held strong.
Yeah, was close a couple times. Before I went back for the C-section.
Before you, yes, okay, I was just going to say
I was like, do you want me to tell you? And Taylor, Taylor was like, yeah, go ahead and tell us. And Taylor's like, no, don't do it. Taylor was like, don't do it.
You made it this far, dude. I'm going to go all the way 30 here. Minutes.
And I go, you're fucking right, man. And he's like, yeah, I know Taylor I am, but don't fucking.
We're walking to the car. She goes, you fucking sell out, piece of shit. As we're getting in the truck, like, she's so mad at me.
But yeah, bro. So it happens. I text Taylor, let him know. I type the name and everything. And I know as I'm typing the name, I'm like, nobody's going to understand. Because it was like me, Charles said it. And I'm like, I have no fucking clue how to spell this name. It's one of those names you're like, you just have to hear. You can't spell it. You're like, okay, how is it spelled if you just hear it? But I type the name and then I send a voice message of how to pronounce the name. Mm-hmm. And we're on the phone the next day talking about how do you pronounce the name. I'm thinking, bro, I fucking told you how to pronounce the name.
27 times to know it for real. All right.
And I did a pronounce video on Twitter.
Cerulean.
I did a pronouncing video on Twitter. Cerulean. Yeah.
And I told you the other day on the phone, other day being yesterday, that I got to figure this shit out before I see Charo. And now Charo's going to hear this shit and know that I had to ask you again. He just sold me out to the new mama.
Well, you're a fucking asshole. You should know what that name was.
But that's on me, dude.
I sent the damn and I told you within the... Right when it happens, I'm going to fucking let you know what the name is.
Yeah.
And I did that. Sent a voice memo and everything.
So Cerulean Bell Compton.
Cerulean Bell Compton.
7 pounds, 11 ounces.
7 pounds, 11 ounces, 22 inches long. And I'm fired up.
I love it.
I finally got to hold her for the first time today. Because since she's got so many wires attached to her and everything else, mom gets to do skin to skin. Obviously, you know, skin to skin is important. But she gets to be held, but like once per day type of thing. So mom gets to go skin to skin. But today I got to hold her for the first time. Dude, it's incredible.
What was that like?
Oh, it was awesome, man. You just sit there and smile like you just can't believe you created something.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what that picture was?
First time, yeah.
You can see it.
Bro. And she kind of looks like the boy, obviously. But I'm thinking like I had like an old baby picture that my dad sent me and stuff. And she like kind of looks like me. So it just fires you up, bro. I don't know, but
I love it.
Yeah.
What was it like picking up the baby up for the first time, starting to hold the head and everything? Were you nervous?
Slightly nervous, but I will say this, like when she'll cry or something like that, I really haven't been that nervous. Like Charles, like, are you nervous to bring her home? And I was like, no, I'm really not. Like, I'm just excited to bring her home now. Like, I just feel like you went through all of that shit, bro. And Charles was in such a good place and Charles had to stay at the hospital. And she told me, and I'll be able to explain myself because everybody's like, oh, you shouldn't have went home. But Charles like, go home and sleep in the bed.
Mm-hmm.
So I slept at home one of the nights before Charles got discharged. But the way her headspace has been throughout the entire process, like finding the silver lining and everything, like when Rue had to be, she has to be in NICU for all the oxygen and everything else. Charles like, well, this would be good. Like the next couple of days we can focus on like taking care of ourselves and kind of getting ready a little bit more. And not a lot of people get to do that. Versus like, you know, being emotionally, you know, sad that she's removed and not being able to see Rue. Today it's hit her a little bit because she wasn't able to do a couple of things and she's got to travel back and forth from the hospital. Today it took a little emotional toll on her not to be around Rue, but just like, she's just been a fucking champ, bro. She's been a champ. She's like, you go home, take care of Waffle, like change your clothes, take a shower. Like you can even sleep in the bed if you want to. And I'm like, press her like, babe, I'm not going to go sleep in the bed. She's like, that couch fucking sucks. Like go sleep in the bed.
She's like,
I got nurses all around me 24/7. Like, go sleep at home. And so I'm like, you know, she's just been a stud, bro. That's my shout out of the week.
35-minute shout out of the week.
Shout out of the week.
That's outstanding, dude.
Yeah, bro.
Fuck, you're a dad now.
I know.
We've been talking about it forever. Now here it is.
I know, bro. It's like, dude, like I was talking to you on the phone. I don't feel like I'm in those trenches yet to where she's at home and it's just us. And you kind of just don't know, like, I know she's going to be sleeping a lot. Like, you just don't know what the routine's going to be like. And again, Charles recovering from a C-section. So, like, I feel like there's some nuances with that, like being around and helping taking care of her. Because she'll need to be on, like, bed rest and shit like that.
Yeah, I wonder how much more hands-on you'll have to be with that type of situation. But, like, the first month, like, the first week or so, you're kind of, like, figuring it out, doing everything. And then, like, you kind of realize, like, okay, she's going to be up every 3 hours. Every 3 hours. So every 3 hours, you have a time to rest, kind of stare at your phone, do whatever, hit the blue bird for a little bit. And then after, when that baby gets up, she's kind of up for like an hour.
Right. Like
they sleep like a crazy amount of time a day.
And you sit there and like obsess over them.
Yeah. Oh, obsess.
Dog.
They just sit there and they're so tiny and can't fend for themselves.
Yes, bro. And they're like, you know, they're kind of opening their eyes. And you're like, oh, can you see me? And like, you're talking to them.
Right.
They get a little antsy or cry a little bit and you just talk to them more. But it's just nuts, bro. Like my phone has fucking pictures on them. And I am 1000% that dude that was like, I'm not going to be that dude. But come to find out, my album is filled up. I have pictures everywhere of Rue.
Yeah.
And like, you're like becoming that dad. Like, you're just so fucking proud, bro. And you're just so fired up that you want to tell everybody.
Yeah, for real.
I hope Charlotte was good with me telling that entire story. I think she is. But yeah, man. The boy's a dad.
The boy's a fucking dad. The
boy's a fucking dad. Let's go.
God, dude, that's unbelievable.
How's AZ, bro?
AZ was cool. We get in Friday. It was a weird time of transition. I don't know why. I'm just kind of like nostalgically like remembering the time I had kids, but.
Yeah, go ahead. Fucking do it.
Arizona was awesome.
I wasn't around when the Bean was born.
Yeah, you were around after that, huh?
Yeah, I was around. I don't know. I forget how old she was. Maybe one.
Yeah, she was almost. Oh, yeah, she just turned one when you first met her.
So I wasn't around at all during your.
You met Willow right out the gate. You put her to sleep one night.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, for when you first met her. First time you met her.
I think I was there when you guys brought her home that day, right? Like, you guys brought her home and the Arnolds and everybody was over there.
Yeah, I remember the Arnolds were there and then Miss Tana, Talon's mom, was there. But I don't even really remember that. when you're telling this whole story, it's like, wow, like him just being able to regurgitate everything that happened is unbelievable.
Well, one thing I did do is I wrote down at like every other hour, I would journal at stuff that was happening.
That's so smart.
Sure, we shared something and we like shared a note or whatever. And we were doing like the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that is, I feel like that's how I'm like remembering those 47 hours. Cause yeah. I'm like looking and writing stuff, trying not to forget. But yeah, it's like a fucking, you're in a fog afterwards.
Yeah. And the crazy thing about having kids too is when you get to the end of the pregnancy, her for sure, but both of you are like, let's get this baby out. And you're kind of just like, let's hurry up and go through hell to get to have this kid. So you're doing all this stuff. You're going on walks. You're doing the deal a little bit.
Yeah.
Backing that Brinks truck up of your boys.
Yeah.
And hey, get in there.
Yeah. You want me to roll you over?
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? All I remember, I remember a whole bunch about it. And I won't take, I mean, it's 15 minutes already in, but I will say when Wynn was born and Talon started to push and everything like that, it was fucking chaos everywhere. Like, it seemed like nurses were flying around. Doctors were flying around. It was just like the most intense moment. And Taylor didn't push for very long. It was dramatically different stories. But like...
Which they're all stories. It's it's crazy what women can do. Right, shout out all the goddamn women.
Shout out women. That should be this another shout out of the week.
Yeah.
Just shout out women in general having to go through that.
Yes,
because if men had to have babies, we go extinct, homie.
Buddy, I always use the goddamn like joke of like, oh, it just seems like a bad hemorrhoid type of deal. And going through that, bro, I'm like... I don't want to be that guy anymore because you see what happens and you're like, yo, it's fucking different in there. Yeah. It is fucking different in those rooms, bro.
It's fucking wild. It's warfare in there. And when we had Wynn, we're like all like we're excited and we're going through it. And they're like, yeah, the lady next door, she's having her fifth kid. And then it's like, oh, that's just a fucking seasoned vet out there. That's that 10-year all pro player. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And we're just kind of getting in the league trying to figure this whole thing out.
I'm like, oh man.
We hit preseason. We're like, oh, we're going to do pretty good at this whole thing.
Charles might be one and done after that goddamn experience, bro. Like, holy fuck. Like, I'm sitting there like, I don't want her to suffer like that again.
But with Wynn, it was just fucking chaos, dude. And then all of a sudden she came out and it was like, just cried like crazy. There's a really cool picture of me and Taylor holding Wynn and we're both just like tears down the face. It was unreal. And then with Willow, it was a crazy deal because Taylor was all about like she was all kind of like, hey, we'll do the epidural. Like, let's got to get out one way or another. Let's rip it.
Right.
Type thing. And when with Willow, we go to the hospital. I think we're in the same exact room you were when we got checked, or like the couple rooms over where they check you first. And like, all right, let's go to your next place. We go there. Taylor's having some intense contractions. But it's like, I've seen her go through before. I'm like, these aren't the bad ones yet. Like, she knows what she's dealing with. And the second time around, when the contractions hit, like, I feel like because they've gone through it before, they handle it better. Because the first one, I remember the first contraction Taylor ever had, we were in Green Hills at right where like Shake Shack is, that little parking lot in there. And I'm driving my truck around and I'm pulling out of the parking space and all of a sudden Taylor just starts tripping and freaks out and like turns the opposite way on the chair. Like, I ended up panicking. I'm like, yo, what the fuck? She goes, I think I just had a contraction. And I was like, yo. And she didn't know what to expect, right? It was just kind of like a crazy, like jump out of her seat type of deal.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like handling it very well with the second one. And we go in and the lady checks and she goes, oh, honey, you're 10 centimeters dilated. It's time to push.
The second time?
The second time. And I'm like,
let me finish this glizzy real quick.
Yeah. I look at the lady. I go, well, you got to put the epidural. And she goes, there's no time for the epidural. It's not, you have to go push. Cause like after a certain amount of centimeters, you can no longer do the epidural. That's like 8 or something like that. She's like, you gotta push. And I'm like, get the fucking guy.
You talking about that.
Yeah. I'm not a big guy that like makes a huge scene in public places. Like if my order's wrong, I probably just eat it. You know,
like, hey, can you roll that? Can you put that window back down? Remember on the
airplane? I was like, damn, Will just kind of told that dude what's what. I would have never done that. You know what I'm saying? But I look at the nurse. I don't even know this lady. I go, you get the fucking guy. Tell him to get the epidural down here. So they put Taylor into the delivery room. And I'm out there like the dude with the planes kind of doing this. I'm like, are you the fucking person? Are you the person who's doing the epidural? And this fucking slapper comes in, dude. And he kind of like strolling, walking like 2 miles an hour slower than everybody else. And I'm like, bro, get your fucking ass in there and do this thing. And they're like, well, you know, like contractions, well, when they're this far dilated or whatever, you can't put it in. There's no time because if she moves too much, it won't work. And I'm like, fucking try it, bud. And the whole time, Taylan's sitting there, she just is quiet, not moving, just breathing. And I'm like, she must have gone in some weird fucking trance. It was unbelievable.
Just eating it.
Dude, she was eating it. And she says like, the way Taylan explains it is when they told her she was 10 centimeters, like everything stopped hurting. It was just like, oh, I have to go do this. Like she was in that no one's coming to save me moment.
Yeah. And you're pretty much there.
Like you said, there's a difference between hurt and suffering.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I cannot, like, I don't know if I can see her go through that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't want to see like that whole thing go down. And the doctor comes in. I'm yelling at the guy trying to get ready. And he finally puts the epidural in, no problem. And I'm like, okay, let's fucking do this then. Let's push. And the doctor comes in, the one that delivers, which I feel like they're always on vacation. Luckily or not, this one wasn't. She comes in, she checks, she goes, oh, the head's just down too far in front of the cervix. You're actually 5 centimeters dilated.
Mm.
So there was never an emergency the entire time. We catch a little nap. I go to fall asleep and Taylan wakes me up. She's like, I still feel it. I still feel these contractions. And I'm like, what the fuck? So
after the epidural was supposedly in?
For after the epidural. So Taylan felt all the contractions up until 10 centimeters dilated.
Mm.
Because then like the cervix is gone or something like that. Because her legs were completely numb. But the only place that wasn't was the cervix, wherever that's located, somewhere in this area. And once that was gone, she was good. But fuck, dude. That was a wild few hours. Nothing's going to compare to the story you just told. But like it was a wild deal.
It's all crazy, right? Like many things have to happen for a baby to be born.
So many things. So many things have to go right too.
When I'm sitting there, and again, like when then we're in the emotional problem, like, sweetheart, look at me, like breathe with me. Cause it's like, they're like inhaling, they're all over the place. Cause like doing all that stuff. And you're like trying to slow the breathing down. You're breathing together. You're looking at each other. When we're like doing it and we're in between contractions, I'm sitting there at one point thinking like, yo, if this was like Game of Thrones or some shit, she would just be here with like women around her on her own.
Yeah.
There's no epidural, no nothing.
Yeah.
Like, and we'd be out fucking hunting or trying to be a king or something or bastardizing kids.
Yeah, doing something.
Cheating on our wives or
doing
some shit.
Like medieval times.
I mean, it's like back then, that shit's fucking Wild Wild West. And then you come back, you don't know what the kid's going to be. This is what Taylor and I were texting about. You don't know what the kid's going to be. You come back, it's a girl. The guy's like disappointed. Like, right. Oh, you don't have it. Like, you didn't give me a boy or some shit.
Right,
like,
right. It's your fault.
It's just nuts, man. Like, everything that has to go right for a baby to be born. Because she could have been there, who knows how much longer. Maybe an hour, maybe fucking 48 more hours. Who knows? But it's just like she would like the baby wasn't dropping much more anytime she got checked and nothing would move. And you just like if their head's like just like barely shifted or maybe a shoulder's in there, like so many things have to go right. And then some people like I was talking to my barber and he said that they had the epidural. She just doesn't even break a sweat. Baby comes out like nobody, nothing. I'm sure there's people who just eat it naturally.
You hear stories about people who give birth, didn't even know they were pregnant.
Right.
Some thickies out there. Then just like kind of like.
Yeah. One of just
we thinking. Cut that too.
So one of Charles' friends, she had their baby in the bathroom, like at her house.
Yeah, they were people
about,
do that.
They were about to go into the hospital because she was feeling contractions.
Yeah.
She ends up going to the bathroom. The baby comes out like placenta in the toilet and everything. And just comes out, bro. Like
she wasn't like in pain. Like
no, it wasn't like if she's like, oh man, I'm so much luckier what you guys had to go through type of thing. Like
yeah.
It just like everybody has their own thing, right? It's just nuts that a child, how a child is born.
So we go to push with Willow. I'll fucking wrap this thing up quick, but it was like.
We're talking about birthing stories. You don't even have to wrap it up.
It's
a bonus pod.
The contrast between the two babies, like with Wynn, it was fucking insanely crazy. it was, like I said, it was like just chaos going on the whole time. And it, like with Willow, it was wild how quiet it was in the room. Like even when Taylan was pushing, when you know, the doctor's doing everything, everyone's just so quiet and it's so calm to the point where like I legitimately like consciously thought like maybe I should play some music because it's like it was eerily quiet in here. You know what I'm saying?
Too quiet. If Taylor just starts playing something on his phone. Yeah. It's like
no, if you baby, you got this. But yeah,
Blink-182.
Yeah, 100%. That's probably what I would have played. But she came out and it was awesome.
Because with Willow too, it was just you two, right? Because it was COVID. So there was because that was the time you even got COVID a little bit before.
I got COVID like two weeks before.
Because you were super fucking stressed.
Yeah.
Because you're like, yo, I'm going to fucking spaz if I can't go to the hospital.
I was mostly stressed about like Taylan getting it because at that point, so new, you don't know. And like, you don't want to pray and lay to get sick regardless. Well, however people feel about COVID, like,
and Miss Taylan had
people
got
go,
it.
It's the flu. Well, you don't want to pray and lay to get the flu. So I was freaking the fuck out. And yeah, Taylan's mom got it. And then luckily, like, I got off of it. And like a week later, Willow came.
Yeah.
It was just wild, but like, it's scary. It's just a scary thing. And then when it happens, you're like, this is unbelievable.
Dude,
it's the coolest thing ever.
It's just crazy, bro.
Yeah.
It's just crazy how you just see something. You're like, I just can't believe like we created that shit.
Yeah. It's unreal, dude. And you just wait, like when they're little, it's awesome. Cause like you just like created this life. It's unbelievable. Yeah. You get really tired and it sucks. But like, then they like get older and like by 6 months, they're like, when they see you, they're smiling. And they show expression in their face when they get to see you.
Yeah.
And then like their first birthday comes up and you and Charles get to sit there and go, holy shit, dude, we've had a kid for a year. And now Wynn is about to turn 5 in July. And you're like, yo, you do this 3 more or times this by 3 and a little bit of change. She's driving. Like you just, I mean, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, but we talk about it like that. Like, and then Wynn really well, as good as anybody. And she's just like, always trying to make people laugh, always in it for the joke. She's the sweetest thing in the world. And it's just her little sister follows her around everywhere and makes jokes as well. Now they're like at the point where they're playing, like they'll be out. Me and Taylan were sitting at the cabin one day and we're just sitting there in these rocking chairs, watching our two kids, like it's a beautiful sunny day outside and they're playing on the swings together and they're pushing each other around and just having a blast. And you're like, fuck dude, we're just a squad. We're just like a little squad out here, like living the dream together.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy, dude. So it's so lucky and you never really know what it's like. Cause when you're in college, you're like, damn, I don't want to have a kid right now. You kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
And then like you meet that person you're supposed to be with and you have a kid and it's just like, holy shit.
Yeah.
How special is that?
And you go through it. Like I feel like Charles and I, like you connect with your wife on a different level when you're going through labor too.
Yeah.
Like when they're in it and you're in it with them and stuff like that, I feel like the connection gets stronger with them. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Going through anything in general, dude. Like, it's just chaos. When Taylor and I first met, like, it was a shotgun. We just got, yeah, I mean, I told you we got married 3 months. We proposed in 5 weeks. Like, it was just crazy. And then she goes, films this documentary, comes back. And then 6-7 weeks later, she's like, I'm pregnant. And then we think we lose. We thought we lost when the doctor said you actually didn't have, like, you're not pregnant. It's like, it was a miscarriage.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I go play Thursday night football. That's it. Like that next day. And oh no, I actually fucked up the story. So like we go in, Taylan shows me she's pregnant and we're like, she's freaking out. She's like, I don't know if we're ready, blah, blah, blah. I'm stoked. I'm like, fuck, I'm gonna be a dad. We're going to rip this around. Not understanding the responsibility. I'm just like, you know, like I'm in La La Land. We're going to play catch. We're going to do this, you know, all the regular dad shit. All the like, you know, just being a dad, goofing around. Like one of my favorite things to do is just get the kids riled up and then kind of dip. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I go in the other room for a little bit. Well, I just go fucking crazy. But we go in. It was like a Wednesday. Taylan shows me she's pregnant. We go to the hospital. And they're like, yep, you're pregnant. Like, congratulations. We're crying. Super emotional. I go to the hotel that night. Play the game Thursday night football. And then I see Taylan. I keep looking up in the stands. And I might get emotional talking about the story. But I look up in the stands and I see Taylan and everyone's like, you can see we're killing the Jaguars. It's one of those games where Derek's kind of just going off and we're just like
stiff-arming motherfuckers.
Stiff-arming dudes. Yeah. I don't know if it was, I don't think it was a 99-yard game, but it was one of those where he's just fucking, the kid's just murdering cats out there. And everyone's kind of cheering. I see Taylan up in the stands and she's got this blank, like just no expression on her face. And I'm like, I hope she's okay. Like what's going on? And she comes and sees me in the, she comes and sees me in the parking lot after the game, and we like dominate. I'm like, yo, what's up? We won, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I go to rub the belly or whatever. And she looks at me and she goes, I think I lost the baby. And like, I'm like, what? And so we leave a couple, like the next day we go back to the doctor, same room, same everything. She does the, like little ultrasound. And like on the ultrasound, there's this little like circle, this little circle. It's all dark in the middle and there's nothing. And the lady kind of like walks out, leaves the room, and they come back and they tell us like, yeah, you lost the baby. And so it's like just fucking here, up and down, over and over again. And you're like, holy shit, that was like the most wild 48 hours right there. Like to think you're doing something and you're not. And then I always tell this the same way, but like weeks start going by and like Taylan's kind of, she's kind of being bitchy. Like she's being mean to me. And I'm like, yo, why is she being mean? I don't understand it. And like, we end up, she's like, the doctor's like, you might have something where the embryo is still attached. You might have to get removed or whatever, like a minor surgery, blah, blah, blah. Go in and check. So we go into the same ultrasound room we were the first two times. Go in there and I see the same picture, but in the picture, there's a little flickering light. Like it just keeps like a little, like, you know, a twinkling star in the sky. And in my mind, I'm like, I knew it was different right away. I was like, that something's different there. And the lady has the same expression on her face as she did when they told us we didn't have a baby. She leaves and they come back and they're like, no, you're pregnant. And we're like,
little bean.
This is fucking wild. Yeah, little bean.
Yeah.
And it is just fucking crazy. It's, I really wish Taylan could tell that story, because talk about the emotions she went through.
Oh yeah, women go through it. It's a different.
Yeah. But like women have even Taylan in the beginning, when she first showed me that pregnancy test with Wynn, she was like, I said, like she was like, are we like, she was never going to like give up the baby, but like, it was like, are we emotionally, is our foundation good enough? Are we ready to be parents? Like, are we going to be okay? Basically, like, is our family going to be okay? And then when we lost the baby, Taylan came out and was like, you know, we could have handled that. We could have done that. I know we could have done that. And it was a weird way of like, almost like a win being like giving us a chance to like comprehend the idea of having a child and then coming back. Mm. It was a cool deal, dude. It was awesome. With Willow, he was sailing the whole way. Like, it was pretty awesome. But yeah, it's crazy, dude. Childbirth is fucking insane.
Blessing, man.
It really is. And you're going to be a fantastic dad too. Like the way you're talking already with the albums and everything. I don't take pictures for shit.
Albums
on your phone. You said.
Oh yeah. I was thinking.
Yeah.
Music.
I was thinking some music.
Yeah, when she starts playing music, we're in Nashville. Still, she's got to do that. You're going to be a phenomenal dad. You're outstanding. You're great with Wynn. I don't know all the other kids you hang out with. Hopefully not too many, because you probably get charged. But you're great with Wynn. You're great with Will. Like you're all time, dude. So you're going to be you're going to be phenomenal.
Oh yeah, that's the crazy part, because there's times too with other little kids. Like I'm just kind of nervous about being around like kids, especially when they're little. Because you don't want to like fuck anything up, or anytime they cry, I'm like, oh shit, what do I do now?
Yeah.
But I am excited, man. It's just crazy, bro. Like it's just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited, man. And she kind of looks like me.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
That's wild, bro.
Because you know, you have a kid and you're like, you hope they're a decent looking kid. Like you're like sitting there, you're like, man, I hope this thing's going to be like, I'm going to like, you have no clue what they're going to fucking look like. Zero clue. She's just sitting there, her adorable little
3D
self.
Ultrasound.
Mm-mm.
Okay, we had like,
so yeah, we couldn't see. Yeah. I was wondering that too. I was like, man, I never saw something where I could be like, oh, she's got my nose or some shit.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
And even when you see it, you're like, oh, we can see the baby's face, but you can't really tell too much. But there's these places you can go to where they do an ultrasound. It's like a 3D picture. Where you can see like the ridge of their nose and their lips,
yeah.
And their little chins and stuff like that. It's
we didn't get to do that. And she's got all that hair from Charles. She's got all that full head of hair already. Yeah. Like, dude,
that thing kind of goes away for a little bit. They start to bald for a second, then it comes back.
You better not. Place an expectation on her.
What kind of dad do you think you're going to be?
I don't know, like, man.
See how you feel now. 15 years from now, she comes home, she brings a boy. How do you think you're going to handle that?
She brings home a boy 15 years from now.
Like, you okay? So she's in high school. She's going to go on a date.
Man, I don't know. I think it's like,
what's your first emotion?
I think I'm gonna play those games, right? Like Bad Boys 2. Like you, one of them ludicrous looking motherfuckers, ain't you? Hey, Taylor.
Yeah,
he's here.
Hey, you ever have sex with a man?
Yeah, hey, you want to? Then I ain't scared of going back. Put the gun away, man. But no, I hope to give her like a stoic mindset in a way. Like that's something I've been into is like the stoicism stuff. I just hope I can be in a way to where I'm not like trying to mold her into be a certain type of person so much, other than like maybe her observing me or watching me and we have like real conversations, or I'm calm enough to ask her stuff and to where she can like talk through some of her emotions or feelings, and I can, you know, help guide her like with certain mindsets or things to like think about. Because you can't give anybody experience, right? Like they have to like go through shit. So I think that's what's going to be hard, is knowing like, you know, don't sweat that boy. There's a million in the sea, you know, a million fish in the sea type of thing. But everyone thinks like their first love's like,
that's it.
You know, it's like, everybody's in their own One Tree Hill TV show when they're growing up.
Yeah.
Right? 100%. Like everyone is. Everyone thinks that it's all about that.
And going
like,
through it.
You got to like actually.
No one else has ever gone through it, but you're going through it right now.
You don't understand me and stuff like that. So you just hope like you can give some good wisdom to where they feel comfortable like talking to you, or not like, you know, scared to come to you with anything. Maybe like a little bit of fear, but just because they feel like they might have like let you down in a certain way. But right. Like a respectable fear. I don't know. I just hope to be fucking, I hope not to be overbearing.
I feel like the respectable fear thing goes, for some reason, I feel like it goes better with boys. Like for me, someone told me this one time and I was like, what a good kind of idea or thought is whenever your kids come to you with something that they're going to be in trouble, they're going to do something like that you're going to be mad about, don't react at all.
Yeah.
And like save that and go process it. That way when they get older, they don't think, oh, I can't tell my dad because he's going to be so mad.
Right. Yeah.
Come to you and talk to you about whatever it is. And I mean, I'm not at that point yet, but because Wynn's only 4, but someday I hope she'll be able to come to me and I'll be able to like talk to her about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a weird thing. I think about it all the time. I don't know how to like put it into like what the clarity of it looks like for the type of dad and stuff like that. But I feel like all the stuff I read and everything else, I just hope she's like a curious cat to where you're able to, you know, have those like foundational conversations about stuff.
Yeah.
So you know, it's crazy, man. One day at a time. We're on day, 2, 3?
Today's Wednesday?
Yeah.
Coming up on,
it's like a blur,
72
bro.
Hours.
Yeah. It's like a blur, but.
Wait, what's her birthday?
4-3-2-2. So April 3rd, 2022. That's how I put it in my head, 4-3-2-2. So I don't like forget. Yeah.
Might have been my lunch number growing up.
4-3-2-2, maybe that's a new passcode. that's her birthday, crazy, man. A little Cerulean Bell. Charlie brought that name up.
Yeah. Go into, tell us how you became of the name.
Yeah, so we were looking at our wedding venue in Montana. And Charles, like, favorite, which is funny because a few people on social media have been like, oh, that's my favorite crown in the 64 fucking crown box. Like, Charles, like, oh, that was my favorite crown growing up. I'm like, fucking, of course it was.
Yeah.
The Crayola. Cerulean blue.
Back up. What?
Cerulean blue crown. No,
what? Crayon?
A crown.
Crown.
Grab the fucking mic. It's not, you don't
I'm
say
not
crayon.
Crown. I'm saying a cerulean crown.
I definitely say crayon.
You say knife?
Crayon?
No, I don't.
Okay.
There's not a K in crayon.
Crayon.
Crayon. Like, I see what you're saying, crayon. I understand that, but I'm saying, like, you know what I'm saying.
What do you call the not chocolate, but it's
not defensive. Like, hey, bro, I'm fucking joking.
Yeah, we were just trying to make like a little fun.
Brown, like a red crown.
No, well, you're saying it what? Crayon.
No, I'm saying it what?
You're saying it weird.
Yeah, you're saying round.
You're saying crown, like you put on your head, like a king does.
Yeah. I feel that.
But it's crayon. And he's saying crayon.
Crayon.
I'm
crayon.
With you, Taylor.
Yeah, crayon.
Yeah.
A crayon?
It's a crayon.
Like cranberries?
Yeah. No, like crayon.
Yeah.
The crayon. You want to play the crayon? Yeah, get the crayon. What color do you want? I want cerulean. Okay, get the cerulean for the...
The cerulean crown.
Yeah, crayon. Crown. Are you doing that as a joke?
No, I mean, like, I'm playing into it more now, but that is how I say
it. What do you call not chocolate, but it's like...
Caramel?
Okay, good. I call it caramel. I usually like to say caramel.
Caramel or caramel?
No.
He goes, good.
I like
to call it caramel.
I call it caramel to seem like fancier, but I really call it caramel. What do y'all say, caramel?
Caramel.
Caramel?
Yeah.
Weirdos in the back. Do you say aunt or aunt?
My aunt.
All right, I say aunt.
What's crazy is, and this is on me, like this is a mistake for some Bon Terre Missouri shit, but I used to say whelp instead of welt. And people would say, like, what are you talking about, whelp? I'm like, you know, whelp. It's
the skin. I think you're saying whelp, like, whelp, see you later. Yeah.
I have this huge whelp on my knee.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, and I call it a sock cap.
A beanie?
A beanie sock cap.
They call it, what do they call it in Canada? A toque. They call it a toque. Oh, yeah, toboggan. Wait, they call them both. Because I've heard toque and toboggan.
Hey, what do people call a toilet? A commode?
Yeah.
Say commode.
Some uppity up bitches call it a commode.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard people say commode. I think like Florida people might say commode.
People in Florida don't say commode.
Yeah, they definitely don't.
Somebody that I went to, I was in college with in London
called it a commode.
Maybe it was Georgia. Maybe it was from Georgia, but one of my teammates called it a commode.
Yeah, they, that,
and he wasn't uppity. He wasn't uppity really? Like you're thinking. And what else? Oh, in Nebraska, they instead of creek, they call it a crick.
Yeah, yeah, they do that in Texas too.
Are you crick?
No, I'm creek.
Creek?
Cave Creek.
Yeah,
that's true. Not Cave Crick.
Yeah, in Nebraska, they say Cave Crick.
Yeah, that's wild. We should do a segment where people send us videos of what their birth was like in a 1 minute video.
Crayon.
What do you say, crayon?
You crayon. But I think crown's just the easier way, like a quicker way. Crown.
Yeah.
But anyway, that was like, she's like, what do you think about cerulean and anything?
Oh, yeah, we just went on a 5 minute deal.
I know, that's hilarious. And she was bringing names up, and I was kind of like, I was kind of being a tough crowd on them because she was able to pick the girl's name. Like, I got the boy's name. If it was boy, he was going to be named after me. And we're going to call him Liam. And she was getting the girl
fire,
name.
By the way.
Liam. And I was trying to, like, you know, hold off to where I could find a fire girl name. And maybe she'd be like, oh, that's awesome. And when she said cerulean, I was like,
everything's competition.
Yeah. I was like, I mean, that's kind of dope. I was like, what makes you want that? And she's like, oh, it's just my favorite color, crayon growing up. And we kind of sat on it for a while because there was a few names we were looking at. And then when we had chose our honeymoon in like Bora Bora, like cerulean ocean, it's like a cerulean color. And then she was conceived there. We were just like, we were all in. We appreciate that, man. We were all in on cerulean, dude. And what is crazy is I'll even send the photo to you guys too. But the day after her due date, the resort we stayed at. Pulling this up for you.
Bora Bora. That's that money resort, dude.
We went all out. I'm not even gonna try to hide it on that. We flexed on our honeymoon.
Flexed.
100%.
Well, I flew private all the way to the French Peninsula.
Oh, yeah. We did not get to fly private, but
18 hours on a jet.
So the due date was March 28th. Our due date was March 27th. This photo was posted March 28th by the Four Seasons, by their Instagram.
Oh, no shit.
Charles' photo that Charles took on the honeymoon, laying in the water, the one that I made fun of, laying on my back with with my ass cheeks out. No, they didn't do that one. But they had Charles' one on there, and it was Charo. And it says, like, come enjoy the cerulean waters of Bora Bora.
Let your Monday blues drift away in the cerulean waters.
After the due date. So we're like, yo, this is fucking...
That's crazy.
Hey, first off, fire for Charo to get that pig. That's a fire pig.
That pig, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, Four Seasons.
Yeah, they gave credit.
They gave credit.
They said,
let your Monday blues drift away in our cerulean waters. Or did you already say that?
Yeah, I did, but it's all good.
I felt the flinch. Sometimes when I feel your flinch, I'm like, oh, fuck, I just missed.
I did the quick head turn of the boys, see if they noticed. Yeah, dude, that's fucking sick. Okay, so you guys picked out the crayon. There was really no fussing about that after.
No, there really wasn't a whole lot of batter because I thought cerulean was dope. I thought it was unique. It's a pretty name. And then all the other stuff with the honeymoon and everything else, it's like, oh, this is fucking perfect.
So how long are you going to call her Rue for the rest of her life? Or is she going to go by Rue? Or is that like her baby name, like Bean, was for when?
I would assume that I'll call her Rue. I don't know. I guess I haven't gotten that far, but...
Lean.
But I'm thinking
I
Rue.
I love the name Lean. I think that goes hard.
You go Rue, like, I mean, the girl's going to struggle. I said this in the video. The girl's going to struggle sign up for utilities and fucking her name in class and all this stuff.
Yeah.
That's a pretty name. How do you spell that? She's going to have to do that all the time. Like, so Rue, R-U-E, like she'll just be able to put, you know, I think that's an easier way for her to.
You should do, a Cajun, like R-E-A-U-X.
Roe?
No, yeah, that's Roe, but there's a Rue. Oh, what was Brew? I had a dog named Brew.
R-E-A-U-X.
Brew is B-R-O-U-X. So it would be R-O-U-X. That's Rue.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
That's Rue.
Is that it? Before we all agree and everybody's like, these dumb motherfuckers.
No, that is because I dated a Cajun chick before. And they were like all about that
everybody.
Shit.
I was listening to the pod and this man said I had a rich girlfriend fucking wherever the hell it was, somewhere in California.
Yeah, they weren't even rich like that, but like...
He's like, shout out, who was that, Lauren?
Jimbo Shockley, dude. That's my fucking guy. That's the dad. Guy was all time.
What was her name, Lauren?
Laura Shockley.
See, the boy listened.
Yeah, you really did listen like that. Bro. What'd you think of the pod?
I thought it was solid. I thought he was good.
Yeah, he was solid.
I thought there were a couple of things that, like, if we're here going back and forth with each other, we might have been able to peel a couple of things
back. Yeah, I agree with that.
But his ghost thing, I thought that was interesting because he essentially, like, him and the boys are in the meeting room making fun of what they would say, and he basically said it to his coach.
Yeah.
And
I think he said it to McCowan, didn't he?
He said McCowan?
McCown, Josh McCown, wasn't he on the Jets at the same time?
I think so.
They also have the gift where they're both doing their hair at the same time.
Yeah.
They both do the over-the-top thing.
Yeah. But it seemed like they came up with an inside joke of, like, seeing ghosts.
Yeah.
And then the coach asked them, they were getting blown out. Basically, like, just a tough part to just say, I'm seeing ghosts out there, and you're mic'd up. Hilarious.
Yeah, it was wild, too, because I didn't really know what... I looked up his wiki and everything. Like, we obviously met Sam at the ranch in Cave Creek. And we hung out with him. He was really cool. So when they said he was coming on, I was like, oh, it'll be great. And I started Googling shit, and it was like, not some fire news on there about, like, the Panthers and what's going to happen and who they're going to draft.
He's in it.
They were in the Deshaun Watson talk for a little bit.
Yeah.
And so I was like, do I really want to bring this up to this dude? But then what I ended up doing, he was like, yeah, I kind of don't, I don't look at that stuff at all. Which you obviously heard in the pod. Like, I got to know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because I know somebody else knows.
I'm sure he knows some stuff. And you were bringing up the Baker stuff, like, because to me, he's like, you know, it's not really something I can speak on. But I'm thinking in my head, like, you can speak on it because the Jets, you were like that with the Jets.
Yeah.
Like, you were a third round pick to the Jets.
Third overall pick.
Yeah, third overall. Yeah, my fault. Third overall pick to the Jets. Like, you were the dude. Like, well, you know, what would that have been like? Like, when you got traded and went to the Panthers, like, how was that making you feel?
Yeah, I texted the people at Barstool saying, hey, can we get Baker Mayfield? And then they said, we already asked for you guys. His representative said, highly unlikely. So Baker's out on our podcast.
So sometimes what's hard too, like, sometimes I feel like we might be able to get to him a different route.
Yeah, if we tweet to him or something like that.
Like, if somebody that feels like they kind of know you, or that you would probably say yes to them.
Yeah.
And they're going through their person who's booking with an agent, like, the conversation between the guest booker and an agent is going to be very, like, formal and
super business.
And it, like with us, like, when they send us a list of guests, like, we say yes and no to certain guests, right? Like, they could have been, like, Busting with the Boys, Part of My Take, like, all these pods. And he might have talked with Baker, like, hey, do you want to do media? And he's just like, probably not.
Yeah.
Because in Baker's mind, he might be thinking, like, NFL Network or ESPN or some shit.
Yeah.
Versus, like, you know, if Johnny knew him, it's like, hey, Johnny, do you think Baker would come on the pod?
Yeah, we should text Johnny about that.
He's like, I think he would. And then we're talking to Baker, and Baker's like, oh, fuck yeah, I'd come on the pod, type of thing. I think then that's where he'd come.
Yeah, I think he's still in the play. After you saying all that, I'm back motivated. I think him, a little weirdo, but Tony Hawk. I thought there's a documentary that came out on Tony Hawk. So is it fire? Grab the mic if you're going to talk, dude.
It is phenomenal. And you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and get it off.
I love Tony.
Shout out of the week. I'm putting in work on it.
You need to relax. It's bonus. Bonus shout out. Bonus
shout out of the week.
No free shout outs.
Tony fucking Hawk. The guy is just a legend. And you see, like, his whole childhood growing up. I won't spoil it all, but I mean, when he made history hitting that first 900,
oh, dude,
I was insane. In my bed, chills. Just, I mean, that's all I'll say about it. Tony Hawk, absolute god.
Mm-hmm.
We're just mortals walking amongst him.
And he does the funniest shit on Twitter, too. Dude. He'll go up to a kid and be like, hey, do a kickflip. Kid will do a kickflip, like, give him a board.
Give him a board.
He'll tell stories about him being at a coffee shop, and people will be like, you look like Tony Hawk. And he's like, yeah, I am. Like, hilarious. All right, have a good one.
That's hilarious.
Like, yeah, I'm awesome. Tony Hawk. And the best part is he's not, like, tatted at all. Like, a lot of these skaters, like, have, like, a vibe. He's not none of that vibe at all.
Yeah, watching the documentary, you really get, like, an insight of how technical he was as a kid.
Yeah, I don't even want to hear anymore, dude.
Just go watch it. It's on Hulu. We're not even pubbing it, but we are.
One
shout out to fucking Hulu either, dude.
Hulu, but sponsor.
Whoa, I know. You never know. We might work with Hulu someday.
Cut it, yeah. Cut it.
Hey, one thing about one show that I'm watching right now that's fire. If you haven't seen it, it's the Lakers. It's like, it's called Winning. It's like how the Lakers dynasty started. And who's the dude from Step Brothers? John C. Reilly.
John
C. Reilly. He plays, like, the owner, Dr. Bush, in it, and it's bust. Thank you. And it's unbelievable. It's like the first episode is them talking about, like, drafting Magic and, like, but it's like they do it like it's a TV show. It's not a documentary. And, like, Bust will be like, he'll be walking to negotiate with the guy when he's buying the staples from the dude. And he's like, I love swans because they're so beautiful and elegant, but he's looking at the camera and he's like, but under the water, they're fucking paddling. And, like, when someone's talking to him, he'll look at the camera and be like, watch me fucking paddle. And he's like, it's cool how they interact with the audience.
Right.
The show, like, is fire, dude. It's called Winning Something 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 Lakers Dynasty. It's pretty good. It's on HBO Max, I think. No free shout out. But that's a fire deal too. I get that in between my Harry Potter
series, man. I finished up The Last Kingdom.
My favorite Harry Potter?
Have you watched them all?
No, I'm on the second one, Chamber of Secrets,
right
now.
Well, you got a ways to go.
Yeah,
you're so right about when I saw that tweet last night. You're so right about this motherfucker, dude. Like, I'm thinking I'm going to look at like Anakin Skywalker or Luke Skywalker, an actual like badass. Like, oh, he's the chosen one.
Yeah.
Dude does not walk like a chosen one.
Five times in the first movie. And the second one, The Chamber of Secrets, I'm not all the way through it yet, but they're like in the car. First off, Ron Weasley, let me give you a little heads up. If the train's right behind you, just veer left or right. You're flying, right? Like, you don't need to get chased by the train for a dramatic 30 seconds before you take a quick Ricky. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, and then they get caught in the tree and the tree's beating the shit out of them. Like, you should have never put yourself in that position in the first place. And why aren't you studying? You know what I'm saying? Why isn't he's fucking, if I'm Harry Potter and I don't know this world and I got these asshole overweight London people locking me in a closet for the first movie. And I think this is my fucking way out. And I go to the Hogwarts, and I'm in Diagon Alley buying cool shit. And everyone's talking about this dude who they don't talk about, but his real name is Voldemort. And they're fucking in this thing. And I'm just like, ooh, why?
I just got chills. You just said,
I just said it. Yeah. Oh, dude, I'll tell you that. And he's walking through this shit, and he's like kind of just super brave and super courageous. That's Harry Potter's deal to me right now. But Hermione, who is a mudblood, I know.
Whoa.
I know, dude. I tweeted yesterday, and the first like five responses were like, I can't believe you're talking like that on here. I actually Googled. I Googled on my phone, like, is mudblood really a bad word? Is mudblood really a racist word? I thought your boy was about to get canceled for real. I was like, damn, I just did something.
Oh, that is so funny.
Dude. I'm in bed having a fucking anxiety attack. Like, it's over. I'm about to get cut. It's over for me, dude. But Hermione, who's had nothing given to her whole entire life, knows every goddamn spell, figures out the potion to put the two portly gentlemen to sleep. And so they can go and change into it. Yeah, she fucks up the cat hair for a second and turns into a little bit of a cat as she closes her little locker room door with Merling Myrtle or whatever her name is. Moaning Myrtle. Thanks, Jack. My gun. Hey. But I'll tell you what, my new passion after football, I want to be a wizard. I want to be a wizard.
Have you done Harry Potter World?
Yeah, at Orlando. Oh, you were not that one.
I was going to say, we did. That part was shut down when we went.
Okay, so as the
year before?
The year before and the year before that, they shut down the other part of Orlando Studios, Universal Studios, and they had like the whole Hogwarts thing, and it was just like 20 families throughout the whole park. It was fire.
Dude, that shit is fire. The next time you go back to it, you're going to be even more into it.
I'm stoked.
The fucking butterbeer and everything. Yeah, oh.
I got it, and I don't want to fire you up too much because I got a long road to go before I get to the next thing. I think I got to watch all the Star Wars movies.
I won't overreact to that. I won't react to that.
I won't. You're on a podcast. Don't react.
Yeah. That fires me up though. Yeah, I just watched has anybody seen The Last Kingdom?
I heard it's really good.
It's fire. Uhtred, son of Uhtred. You gotta watch that shit. That
Uhtred,
shit is fire.
Son of Uhtred.
Peaky Blinder Uhtred.
Uhtred, son of Uhtred.
Uhtred, son of Uhtred.
Uhtred, son of Uhtred.
Yeah, you were saying like an N, I felt like, on the end of that.
No. I mean, it's more of a tongue twister than shout out, no free shout out of the week.
Uhtred, son of Uhtred?
Yeah, sure. So anyway, go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, and then also Peaky Blinders coming.
Yeah, season 5 coming up, huh?
Season 5 or 6, right? I thought it was 6, right? 6, yeah.
Oh, it's 6. I thought the episode that came out today was episode 145, so.
Yeah, episode 145. I mean, that's a simple little hiccup.
Simple little boy, huh?
But yeah, man, a lot of good stuff.
A lot of good stuff.
A whole house cleaning podcast right there.
For real. I really thought I thought we were gonna talk about other stuff too, but we're an hour 30 into this thing.
We can talk as much as we want. This is our pod. And it's about us. You know what I mean? We don't have a guest on. We are the guest.
Well, let me get your impression about doing two pods a week. How do you feel about it? Because the demand is high, it seems like.
I love the two podcasts a week idea.
Yeah.
I think it's awesome. Obviously, right now it's just the boys in the trenches with all this.
You're
stuff.
In it.
But I think we set ourselves up well because of the Bus and Spring Tour, which everybody can again catch on YouTube, all the audio stuff. We went to Nebraska and Michigan. We are going to Tennessee next Wednesday. You're listening to this. When is this going to come out? Tomorrow? Tomorrow, Friday, whenever. We're going to the University of Tennessee to cap it all off next week. And also, if you're listening, we are doing our meet and greet, first ever meet and greet with the boys together. You guys have seen me at the tailgates. I've hoarded myself out everywhere. But first time, the boy and I, Taylor and I, will be doing a meet and greet at Acme Feed and Seed
This Saturday,
3:30 to 5, right before the Preds game. We'll be slinging Preds merch, you know, some good merch. We're going to be hanging. We're going to be doing giveaways, giving away Georgia boot stuff. I think a truck. I'm just kidding. We're not giving away a fucking truck.
$1 million.
Yeah, $1 million.
I think we're going to give away. Yeah. We're deciding between $1 and $2 million right now to give away. So we'll see.
But yeah, dude, wear your merch. Buy some merch while you're there.
Yeah, 100%. We'll be there, dude. Come shake hands, kiss babies, do whatever you got to do.
Yeah. Hit a chug, bud. With the case, everybody might be.
I can't wait to see you just flame some dudes, dude. You're going to put some guys down in the chug category. I'm going
to put some guys to fucking sleep.
Put them in the blender. They're going to think they got you, too, but you're going to crush them.
They are going to think so.
What else? I think there was one more thing. No. Oh, going back to going to Tennessee. Now, we've had an outstanding time at Nebraska and at Michigan. And I don't know if you see the two jerseys to my left and Will's right, also my right. When we go to Tennessee, we're expecting absolute love. And I know I said some things. I know I said some things after Michigan beat Tennessee going into the, the Sweet 16. But I'm expecting love.
I wouldn't mind a nice orange jersey.
Oh, if we got an orange jersey to put in here.
Or one of their black ones.
Oh, one of their black ones would be fire, bro. Jack saying Tennessee stuff.
Yeah, but that'll be a fun time. But we'll be, yeah, we're on the road to fucking Tennessee next week. And that'll cap off the Buster Spring Tour. But all that to say, like, I do think all the shit that we've done recently, like, it would be fun to do a bonus podcast every week. Just because, again, like, we're getting guests and we don't have a whole lot of time for ourselves.
We're crazy booked right now, which is cool.
We don't have a whole lot of time for ourselves.
Where we've come from, like, when we first started this thing, and it was like, do you think we can get this guy? Do you think we can get that guy? Now it's like, hey, when can we get one just the two of us?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's really cool. It's been a blast, dude. Yeah. You texted me the other day, and I fully agree. Like, this has been so much fun.
When you didn't text me back?
I didn't text you back. Yeah, but then you
got vulnerable with him. I sent Taylor a nice message about
how
much fun I've been having with him.
I read it and I go, fuck, that's nice. And I put it back in my pocket to go do something.
And then the next morning he texts me like, he asked me a question, something about busing. But I was like, oh, damn, just not going to respond to that.
Yeah, I
said I put myself out there for you last night. And I don't get a response.
Yeah. But I've had a blast with you, dude.
It's been crazy, man. It's been awesome. We're talking about all like the tears and everybody, how we've been growing and stuff like that. But dude, legit, like all the engagement, how we're all having fun on like socials and interacting with everybody. Yeah. Like to me, like that's the most fun type of shit. Like everybody bantering back and forth. That's the most fun.
It's a beautiful thing.